God bless you, Brother Melvin. It's just, I was just thinking that the year looked like to me had just come up and gone before you can smile twice. But we thank God that we are here to left to tell a story. So with that in mind, Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here today. We thank you for the privilege provided to us through the technology of radio that we might speak into the hearts of those who will hear us and let them know that you have our back. And we thank you for it. We ask you to give us wisdom and allow your anointing to flow on us as we speak today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take you to the book of Isaiah, which really talks about the birth of the Prince of Peace. And particularly... the verse 1 and 2, and in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people, look at verse 2, the people that walked, and I'd like to stress the idea that we're looking at the word ed on walked. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadows of death, upon them has the light shined. Isaiah has written this as if it had already happened. And we're going to use our basic thought today that no matter what comes or goes, nevertheless, the Lord Jesus has us. And he has us covered. And it don't make any difference how ugly we have been. It doesn't make any difference how much we have neglected him. He nevertheless covers us with his light. Now, let's look very quickly at the setting of this particular lesson. And basically, this has to do with the northern region of the Galilean area, and an area basically in the area of Galilee. And then the Lord Jesus, after so much turbulence came up involving in this, that the Lord Jesus moved his headquarters to Capernaum in Galilee. And in this area, the Gentiles and the Jews lived and so forth. But what I really want to stress today is, yeah, we're looking at the birth of our Lord. We're looking at the turbulence that is overshadowing this area. And the book says, the Bible says, that upon them the light has shined. Now, I was just thinking just a few weeks ago, well, actually it hasn't been that long ago, that we had a really bad situation to take place in San Bernardino. That this demonic guy comes in and kills people that he knew, already knew, 14 of them, and injured even more than that. So people, the grip of fear has come over our community. And we're about 70 miles or so away from San Bernardino. Nevertheless, we see the situation and that it could happen anytime, anywhere, and it doesn't take much to do that. Now, I think it was on, it was on Monday, I believe, or Tuesday of this week, that the LA school system shut itself completely down because the people's mind was set on what had happened in San Bernardino, and then they got a message, and after a while, fear gripped them. But what we need to do is to recognize the fact that it really doesn't matter what happened. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus has come that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. Today in our world has gone dark on us. There's a passage of scripture found in the book of Isaiah and in the fifth chapter, and I won't go and read that, but let me just kind of quote it to you. In the fifth chapter, verse 20 and 22, well, why don't I just do that? Isaiah 5 and looking at verse 22 and 21 and 22. Listen what he says in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, get that? And light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Now, this is the kind of thing that we are faced with today. Everything goes, and let me tell you, just been a few years ago that I was into politics, local politics here in the city of Lancaster. And everybody watching to see if you're going to break any laws. But I tell them, and I tell anybody, I would not back off the fact that the Lord Jesus is my Lord, and it doesn't matter what anybody says about it. You can recall me if you like. You can do whatever you like. But the bottom line is, I know that the Lord Jesus has made a decision about me and anyone else who will trust him. Nevertheless, whatever we have done wrong, the Lord Jesus, his light has shined upon us. Now, so the business of politically correct. We had this woman back in the early 60s, I think it was, mid-60s, that came in, and while us people sitting by idly and let her move prayer out of the school. And let me tell you, we've had nothing, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, but hell in our school and everything else. 22 kids a few years ago, just a year or so ago, were killed. 22 kids. And I believe with all my heart that if prayer had been in the school, the Lord would have been invited to keep us, and that could not have happened. It never happened before that. So I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to myself, we've got to come to grips with life and say, nevertheless, no matter what comes against me, I have made up my mind that I'm going to walk with Jesus. Now, what do we mean when we use the term nevertheless? Well, nevertheless means simply to me, this is Henry's study on that. No matter what, it's the same. He is. Well, what do you mean? I'm saying it doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter what anyone says about me. I'm going to stick with the same thing that the Lord and I have had an agreement on, and that I trust Jesus. I trust his work on Calvary. When he took our sins and went to Calvary on our behalf, I trust that. I will not vary from what the Lord has told me to do. Well, let me tell you that you need to know, I already know, being that I'm sitting on top of 82 years and a few months, I'll be 83 years old. And I want you to know that I haven't been all this kind of fine guy that a lot of people may have given me to be. I've fallen very short. But I want you to know at this point in my life that I've examined my life and I've made a decision that nevertheless of what happened, I'm going to stay with Jesus no matter what. And I'm thankful that I have been given another opportunity to serve God and to trust him in for everything that I need. I'm so happy that the Lord took me and took you, if you were willing to trust in what he did for us on Calvary. And this is why Isaiah comes and writes this letter at a time that Israel was in the deep trouble, and let them know that the light is already on. Let them know that the Lord Jesus is already taken up. And in fact, Isaiah spoke of this as if it had already happened. He didn't say it's going to happen, even though he wrote over 700 years before Jesus was born. But he spoke of this as it already has happened. Come and go with me to another passage of Scripture. I'm going to take you now to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Let's look at something here. I want you to look at verse 31 with me. And Paul had talked about the Spirit praying for us in verse 26, Romans 8 and 26. When we didn't know what to pray for, the Spirit himself spoke on our behalf. And he went through all of the business that, and he said that the Spirit would pray for us and would pray on our behalf. And, oh, he goes on and on. And then finally he concludes in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I'm going to move on down, being that I'm going to run out of time here in a minute, to verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall any of this separate us from the love of God? Well, I want you to know that God will not absolutely separate himself from us. He will not allow tribulation or nothing else to get in his way of taking care of us. Sorry about that. This phone went off on me, but nevertheless, we're going to continue what the Lord has spoken to us to say to us, that tribulation, turbulence, and I want you to know that this little girl up in a way, few years back, up God, I can't even think of the state where this guy put the pistol in her face and said, if you say Jesus, you're gone. And she said, yes, I love Jesus. And he blew her away. That's up in the high country. Goodness gracious, can't think of the name of the country, the state. But what I do want to say is that this child in school was not afraid to stand up for what she believed about the Lord in the face of death, and she actually ended up suffering death. And my question to Henry, that's me, My question to you, whatever your name may be, are you willing to say, nevertheless, no matter what come, no matter what tribulation come, what happened to me, I'm going to say, nevertheless, I'm going to stay with Jesus. Look at verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all of the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded, listen to this, I'm saying nevertheless, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, what are you saying, Henry? Are you that strong? Do you have the power to keep yourself? But what I do have is the power to commit my way to his way, and nevertheless, however weak I may be, he will keep me anyway. So I want to let you know that Paul made a statement here, and that statement is not how strong we are, but it's how strong God is, and he is willing to keep us no matter what. Well, I need to get ready to close the message and say to you today that don't allow what happened in San Bernardino. Don't allow what happened in France. Don't allow what happened several years ago turn you around. And we had an old song that we used to do years ago, and you young people who may be listening today would not understand that. And the song kind of go like this. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Turn me around, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on to Canaan. Well, you know I can't sing, but what I do, I have the spirit of the love of God in me, and I trust him, and I will not give up my relationship with Christ no matter what. So nevertheless, I'm going to stay with Jesus, and I hope that you will as well stay with Jesus. Let me join you in prayer. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you today. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Jesus to be born in Bethlehem in a stable. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you allowed this to happen on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, that not only was he born, he stayed with us for some 33 years, taught his apostle, and then finally he allowed the enemy to take him out and to take him to Calvary. And he died on our behalf. But Lord Jesus, not only did he die, but on the third day morning, he got up and declared that all power was in his hand. And I thank you, Lord, that nevertheless, no matter how much we have fallen short of him, he has not turned his back on us. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would trust Jesus for your salvation. I trust him. Will you take him? Will you let him? Let what he did on Calvary stand for your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, and I want to invite you to come by with us at Livingstone Cathedral of Worship. Our service is every Sunday at 10 o'clock, and well, we're through somewhere right about 11:30 or 12 o'clock, about 2 hours. And we would certainly love to have you to come by and visit with us. We have a strong, strong testimony. We have strong music. Our praise team, our choirs, We have children's care, all available to you if you come and be with us.